Let's get to our guest for the half hour. Randy Krosner is with us. He is professor of economics at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. Randy was a Fed governor from 2006 to 2009. Thanks for making time for us, Randy. A lot to unpack here on Fed Day. Powell certainly left no doubt that policy is going to remain aggressively tight. Fed funds right now is forecast to reach 4.4% by the end of the year. So if you're in the Fed's seat right now, so to speak, how do you know whether you're going to overdo it, to over-tighten? Is that a real risk here?
It certainly is a real risk, but there's also the risk that if they don't really try to slay the inflation dragon, it'll come back. If you only cut off one head, it's like a hydra. There'll be more heads that'll come back out. You really have to make sure the job is done, and that's what he made it clear that he's going to do, make sure the job is done.
So much questioning, Randy, about whether or not we've reached peak inflation. What about the impact here on just everyday goods that's really weighing into the economy, the likes of rent and the likes?
Yeah, and so obviously we're seeing inflation not just with energy and food prices, because when you look at core inflation, that's because that strips out energy and food prices, that's still high. And rents are probably one of the key contributors once you've taken away food and energy prices. And rents are going to be starting to come down with a lag. Housing prices are just starting to turn. Rents will turn a little bit later. So we'll probably see a lot of persistence in core inflation through the end of the year.
Powell today seemed to stop short of saying that the U.S. is going to fall into a recession, although I would point out the Fed is projecting the unemployment rate to pick up about 0.6%, maybe reaches around 4.4%. Historically, the U.S. has never avoided a recession with an increase in the unemployment rate of around 0.6%. Are you thinking that recession is more likely than not at this point?
Yeah, I think it's a very, very narrow path to be able to have a soft or softish landing without having something that would be considered a recession. Also, I think the Fed is being a little bit optimistic in its projections. I think really to bring inflation down as they want it to come down, the unemployment rate is likely to go up perhaps to 5%. Now, by historical measures, that's actually not that high in terms of unemployment rate during recession, but obviously from where we are, it's a big change.
Randy, what is the impact of the very strong dollar also having in terms of some of these economic headwinds?
And so it's creating a lot of challenges for many countries, particularly emerging market countries that have a lot of dollar-denominated debt outstanding, because the dollar is increased by 15% against a whole bunch of currencies. And that means that in order to pay that dollar-denominated debt, you have to pay 15% more in terms of local currency. So those burdens have gone up. And so it's a challenge for countries around the world. One of the reasons, or a couple of the reasons why the dollar is strengthening, is that the Fed is being more aggressive than many other major countries in raising rates. And also, the U.S. is likely to be hit a little less hard than some other major countries like in Europe, because we're a net energy exporter. We're not as dependent upon Mr. Putin for our energy supplies.
It's often said that the Fed is essentially the central banker to the world. In a situation like this, Randy, if you're at the Fed, do you have to begin to do some coordination with other key central banks?
Well, there are always discussions that go on. There's a bi-monthly meeting at the Bank for International Settlements, the Central Bankers Bank in Basel, Switzerland. But there typically isn't formal coordination except in a crisis. So when I was at the Fed during the global financial crisis, we did do a coordinated interest rate cut among a number of countries. But outside of crisis, basically it's just a discussion about what you're going to do rather than formal coordination.
And Denise talking about hotel quarantine, certainly the dynamic zero policy that China has been pushing on with very much impacting its economy, as Doug mentioned. Goldman now cutting China's 2023 growth forecast as that COVID zero policy stays. When does the picture change for China? Could we see that change after the Party Congress?
That's certainly the hope that people have, that there'll be a change, a pivot on that, although I'm not so sure that it'll be so quick. I think there's a very deep commitment to the zero COVID policy. And so I don't think it's just going to be, well, after the Party Congress, then we'll sort of fundamentally change. I think there'll be an evolution away from it because it is very costly, but I don't think it's going to be immediate.
When you look at countries like China and Japan, they are not fighting the inflation headwinds that the U.S. and Europe seem to be fighting right now. What is that differential due to global markets, in your opinion?
And so one of the things that's been happening is you've seen a special weakness in the yen. Because many other central banks have been responding by starting to raise interest rates. The Bank of Japan so far has not done that. And so the interest rate differential between the U.S. and Japan is greater, and so you have a weaker currency. Obviously, as you've been talking about, a lot of pressure on the Chinese yuan also for exactly the same reasons.
Yes, and we saw the yuan reference rate there set with a stronger bias for a 20th straight day. You mentioned, we were mentioning earlier about the impact of the dollar. I mean, how much does that currency pain kind of remind you of what happened in 1997 in Asia?
That I think was much more of an extreme sort of thing that happened because a lot of countries had pegged specifically to the dollar. They were doing an enormous amount of borrowing in dollars, which was much cheaper than borrowing in the local currency. There is some currency mismatch, but it's not as extreme as it was, and I don't see the likelihood of the same kind of disorderly changes as happened back in 97.
So when it comes back to the Fed, I mean, should they be tracking this in terms of the weakness that it may get created in markets offshore, and should they adjust the rate of change a little bit so that these movements aren't as drastic, or should they not concern themselves with that so much?
Well, I think they are concerned insofar that it is going to affect global growth and affect demand and supply conditions in the U.S. But the Federal Reserve, like every other central bank, is a creature of its Congress, and so the mandate for the Fed is to focus on employment and inflation in the U.S., not in other countries. The same is true for every central bank around the world. Of course, they take into account their global implications, but their mandate is to focus on the U.S.
So the mandate from the Fed, but at the same time you have President Putin making what Joe Biden has called overt nuclear threats. The war in Europe, the war in Ukraine, the energy crisis, how much does that concern you?
No, it's a very big concern. It's the wild card that, of course, the Fed really has no control over. An awful lot will be riding on choices that Mr. Putin makes, and of course that makes things very, very fragile. We obviously have a slowing global economy, and then with those kinds of fragilities that are there, that could be a very difficult mix going forward.
Randy, we've been talking about tighter financial conditions and how it's playing out in the equity market and in the treasury market as well. Where are we right now, in your view, in terms of the way in which markets have responding? Are we still in the early innings? Is there much more negativity that will manifest as a result of these tighter financial conditions?
So one of the things that we don't know exactly how play out is as the Fed starts to increase the runoff of its balance sheet and then potential sale of securities, what effect that will have. I don't think it's likely in and of itself to have an enormous effect, but it broadly makes things more fragile. So if there are other shocks that come in, it could make it more difficult to respond to those shocks.
Randy, an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Randy Krosner is Professor of Economics at University of Chicago Booth School of Business, joining us from Chicago.